Morning. Man, it's so good to be in the house of the Lord today. And it's so good to see everyone here today. Amen. Amen. You know what? When I got up this morning, I went out there on the patio and I went out and walked around and checked the garlic and everything and all the make sure the squirrels and the birds hadn't got in my garden, which they always do. And you know what? And all the things that happened during the week, all the things, I said, you know what, Lord? Today is your day. Your day. We're just going to focus on worshiping you this morning. Amen? So I wonder this morning, can you give the Lord just a little bit of your time? And just focus on Him. And you know what happens when you do that? Well, you'll find out. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let us go to our scripture this morning. And if you have your Bibles, if you would, please turn with me to Psalms 37. Psalms 37. You won't find it in your bulletin because I didn't get it to Suzanne fast enough to do that. So you're going to have to... You're going to have to use your Bibles this morning. Amen? Psalms 37. Amen. Amen. Listen for God's word. Psalms 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and withered as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. And this last one, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. We give thanks to you, gracious and merciful Heavenly Father. We thank you so much for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. But most of all, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessed Son, Jesus, our Savior, our hope. And it is in him that we stand. It is in him, Lord, that we look to for his blessed coming. We ask for blessings upon this congregation. And I pray, Lord, that our hearts are prepared to worship you because you want us to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Lord, and we ask this in your blessed Son, Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So we welcome everyone this morning, and we have some guests here this morning. We have our representatives from the Gideons International, and they will be giving a presentation later on in the service. But I want, at this time, I want you to stand up. Stand up, if you're able to stand. I want you to stand up, and then I want you to look around to the left and look to the right. Look in front of you and look behind you. Amen? These are the people of God. Amen? They belong to the Lord. So if you would, just wave at everybody and say hello. Amen? Amen. And make sure you make our visitors feel welcome. Amen? Amen.
Church. Let us pray. Thou in compassion, gracious and loving God,
yes,
open our hearts so that we are able to admit to you the fullness of our lives, that which is beautiful and good, and that which is hurtful and hateful. We confess that we do not follow Jesus in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. We got a couple birthdays this week, and I've got some announcements also.
Says you never miss your, what is it? You water till the well runs dry. Well, I sure miss Gene this morning. I sure miss him. And please lift him up in prayer this morning. He says he wasn't able to come this morning. So please keep Gene Bixler and his wife Elaine in your prayers. Amen? Amen. We give thanks to you, gracious and merciful Heavenly Father. Lord, if it hadn't been for you, we would have nothing to give. We thank you for the blessings of money. We thank you, Lord, for the gifts that you've given. And we pray, Lord, that we would be able to give these back with a grateful heart and with a kind and generous heart. We pray that you would bless this offering and may it be used for whatever purpose you have intended. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, all of the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Good morning, Alamo.
Good morning.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke, the 15th chapter, verses 11 to 32, parable of the lost son. Now the tax collectors and sinners were gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his worth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of the country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring out the best robes and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted cow and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called out to one of his servants and asked him, 'What was going on?' 'Your father is coming,' he replied, 'and your father has killed a fatted calf because he has him back, safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've slaved for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes come home, you killed a fatted calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost, he was found.'" These are the words of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Thank you. Amen. Amen.
Because he threw a party for him. So, I mean, I can understand that, right? When you do something wrong, and you are brothers and sisters, right? Y'all three. And so when you do something wrong, and maybe your mom doesn't get after your brother, or doesn't get after... dog, he's a big boxer, and let me tell you, he's bad. He eats things he's not supposed to, but you know what, I can get after him, and I leave for a second, and when I come in, he is so happy to see me, like I did not just get after him, and that's what reminds me of it. So it's like, God loves us unconditionally, and he wants us to know that if we stray, we are always welcome to come back, and he opens us up with open arms.
Amen.
All right, let's say a prayer. Dear God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for forgiving our sins.
Thank you, Lord.
We know we do bad things, but you still call us your kids. Thank you for your love. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Have a great week.
Thank you, Heather. We certainly thank the Lord for you and your teachings of these little ones. These little ones, the dear ones, these little ones are so precious to Jesus. Amen? He's so precious to him. And it would behoove us that we do our level best to take care of him and watch over him. Because if we don't, we'll be held accountable for that. And I don't want to be the bad person that didn't take care of one of the Lord's little sheep. Amen? Amen. We're so glad to have you. And we're so glad to have our special guest from Gideon's International this morning. Let me go ahead and before he comes, I want to just say this about the Gideons. Tessie and I, we had a chance to go up to the Texas convention, was that what? Yeah, the Texas convention the other night here in San Antonio, and it was a gathering of all the Gideons, and it was awesome. The food was great, but more important than that, the speakers were awesome, and it was great to be able to stand and be a part of
so many people whose primary function or focus is to get God's word out to a lost and dying world. So I want to introduce, but before I want to recognize also Kurt, right? Kurt, and what was your last name again, sir? Clary. I want to welcome you and your wife, your lovely wife also. We want to recognize both of you and welcome you. And I want to introduce our speaker. Our speaker will be Dr. David Cockerham. And David's a pretty interesting guy. He tells a lot of good jokes, and he's real fun to be around. And I know he'll give you a good presentation. And probably one of the reasons why he's so good with people is he's a retired superintendent, not just of one state, but two states, New Mexico and Colorado. So he definitely knows people. So and he is the Texas Northeast Regional Director of the Gideon International. And he comes from a little town, East Texas. I'd never heard of it. A little town called ARP, Texas. A-R-P, you know. And that's up somewhere near Tyler, right? So I want you to welcome him and let him know that we are behind what they do as well. Amen? Amen. David? Amen.
God bless you, Pastor. God bless you, Pastor. We just appreciate you so much.
Sometimes I get introduced with many, many different ways. And one person said, hey, we'd like to introduce you, so what is your name? And I said, well, my name is Dr. David Cockerham. He says, that's too long. I said, that's true. I said, so just call me Dr. C. He says, okay. He says, do you have another nickname? I said, yeah. Now you can use my Chinese name, Hey You. Oh, here we go. Great. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
What does a whiskey bottle and a Bible have in common? When she gets that up, she's going to put that down. There we go. Well, I'm kind of an older guy, so Paul Harvey would say, you'll hear the rest of the story as we go through. So let's go ahead and play your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's Psalms 119:105. Let's see a short video.
Are businessmen, Christ followers, and evangelists. As a missionary extension of the church, Gideons meet people where they are by placing Bibles in the traffic lanes of life and by personally sharing the message of true hope with the weary traveler, the sick and discouraged. With all generations, in small towns and in major cities, across time zones and countrysides, and to the ends of the earth. So men, women, boys, and girls can learn who they are in Christ and experience life as children of God. Gideons have never done this work alone. It's churches just like yours who make their work powerful and effective by providing support through prayer, giving, and a growing membership. Because in the end, we're all carrying out one vision, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel to bring people to Christ.
Well, I took a trip to Tanzania. That's a fur piece over the pond, as you probably know. And you'll have to realize that these kids love to hear about many, many things, but their classrooms are about 75 students per classroom. So it's kind of hard to pass out Bibles in their classrooms. So we got them all out, and talked to them a little bit about that. And we also told them about Jesus Christ. But more than that, we said people give Bibles from our state, give money so that you can have a little bit of testament. And they were so excited. And as you could see the long lines back there that we, if you want to go back a little bit, there was long lines, about 850 students were ready for me to give those testaments. And we gave them out one by one by one, and their little precious hands would open up.
Amen.
You see, these two students right here, one was carrying another student on his back. Can you imagine that? Because he wanted to make sure his friend got a Gideon testament as well. See, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who should ever believe on him shall be saved.
Amen.
Well, what do Gideons do? The first thing we do is pray. We pray over everything that we do. In fact, this morning, we were praying for your pastor and many other things. Just right here in the hotel, there was about 60 Gideons on their knees praying for this church.
Amen.
The next thing we do is we pass out God's word. We're business professional men, and we have a desire to see boys and girls, men and women, find that saving grace of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We pass out our own testaments ourselves. They're called personal workers' testaments. And we, on the streets and byways of life, and we go with people that we can do, as you can see, in many, many different ways we do that. Where our wives, who are auxiliary, also pass out their God testaments too. In fact, that's a little blue periwinkle testament right there. And they also are desired to see boys and girls and men and women find the same grace of Jesus Christ. They also pass out to hospitals and doctor's office and many other places. Well, we do pass out God's word. And so that's very important. I wanted to show you a little bit about that as we go through. The students that we give out these testaments are students from the grades 5th grade to college. Now, when I was in school, about 65% of us knew of what Jesus was and what God was about. In fact, a lot of my friends went to Vacation Bible School just like I did. Can you imagine now, in the United States, that only 4% of the children in public schools know about Jesus? So if the Gideons are not out there giving these little testaments to the children on the sidewalks or actually sometimes in the classrooms, who is going to know about Jesus? Well, we also give out Bibles to police departments, fire departments. We give them out to also our EMTs. And also we give them out to our soldiers and jail. Our jail ministry is one of the largest jails ministry in the state of Texas. In fact, over 100,000 testaments are given every year to the jails in the state of Texas. And many give their life to Jesus Christ because we go one by one and talk to them about Jesus. So that's very, very important that we do that. And we give them out to convalescent homes. These are great because they remember their little red testament they got. And to hospitals as well, as you can see. We also give testaments out to our armed services. We give them out to four different colors, khaki colors. They're able to put them in. We give them out many, many times, and they are always appreciative of that Bible that we give them. Well, as you go through this whole thing, you can find out that something that you always know about, that you've always understood, and that's that we also give out Bibles to our hotels as well. But can you imagine about 200 countries, provinces that are around the world that we give out testaments to in about 199 different languages? So So it's real important that we're able to do that kind of thing, and we're always helpful that we have that ability. Just last year, 67.4 billion Bibles, million Bibles, excuse me, million Bibles were distributed. And so that's real important. Well, as you can see, the Hotel Bible is a very, very important part of our life. Some of you said that you didn't know about that, but we're going to talk to you a little bit. I think it's in there. But 2.6 billion Bibles have been placed since 1909. That was the first day we actually gave, first week we gave out a testament. Now, that's a big number, but if you were in school, I'll tell you how it works. If you had one of the Bibles and you place it in the equator, it would go all the way around the world and then back to Brazil. That's how big that number is. Now, if you place your hand on your heart, every time your heart beats, 2.6 Bibles are placed. So that's really important. Let's go to the next slide. Okay, whoops. I think that's where we're going to... Okay, we're going to do a video at this time.
Got involved with drugs, alcohol, prostitution. I was just trying to find something to fill the void that was in my life. I thought maybe if I had more things or had more drugs, maybe that would be the solution, but it wasn't. It was a park similar to this right here. Occupied by homeless. And I remember that Saturday morning, I had got up early, took a couple of hits of acid, tooted some coke, and I went for a walk in that county park in Battle Creek, Michigan. Here I was, a reject from the military. My third wife had walked out on me, and I just felt there's nothing else left but to commit suicide. But then there were some men in the park that day. They was witnessing to the homeless, and they were giving them these little testaments. And one of them came up to me, had a big smile on his face, and he said, "Do you know Jesus?" And that young man, he took that little testament and he opened it. And he showed me, for God so loved Amen. The world that he gave his only begotten son. And I personalized that. For God so loved Leroy Kennedy that he gave his only begotten son. Then he opened it to the book of Romans, and he showed me how I can pray and ask Jesus to come into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. It was that day I prayed. I asked Jesus to forgive me. I asked him to come into my heart, clean up my life, and to make me somebody. And the Lord heard that prayer, and the Lord answered that prayer. And I want you to know I was instantly healed from my dependency of drugs.
Amen.
And the rehab centers didn't do it. But when I asked Jesus to come into my life was cleaned up, and I was clear-headed of the drugs. And you know, for the first time, that void that I had been carrying around all of my life, all of a sudden I felt like a new person. I felt whole. I felt complete.
One Bible can touch the life. Many, many Amen. People. And God bless that. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Let's go to the next slide, please. Well, so shall my word go forth out of my mouth. And it shall not return unto me void, but shall prosper that which I accomplished and which I please. And it shall prosper in the things where I sent it. Isaiah 55:11. That's such a true, true verse that we have. Well, we have a new program called Life Book, and we gave our pastor one of these. Now, this is really important because pastors always like the word free. We give these out, and they actually can order these books for their students, and it's really important because it's the Book of John or the Book of Mark, and it's really written towards the students. In fact, there's a lot of handwritten questions in there and many, many other things. So read through that, and Pastor, if you would like to have those, we'd love for you to have that. Let's go to the next slide, please. Well, what can you do for us? The most important thing that you can do for us is pray. Pray that we can have open doors to these hotels and open doors to hospitals and to many, many other deals. Pray that we can still have a free reign to stand on those corners of these schools and pass out God's word. And pray that we could continue many, many other different things. Now, let me tell you what prayer is all about. We were not able to give out Bibles into the United States Army for a while until we had a lot of people, just like yourself, start praying that we could get those back. Well, God did provide, and we're now back into the armed services and many of the hotels as well. So it's because of your prayers that happened. Another thing you can do, want to go to the next slide? Okay, well, another thing you can do is go back one, please. Thank you. Another thing you can do is give, and 100% of anything that you give us today goes to buy Bibles. Now, how can that be? Well, we have a dues structure ourselves. We pay a little dues, which pays for all of our administrative costs. And we ourselves provide our own transportation everywhere we go. So if you saw me in Tanzania, I was actually paid my own way to get to Tanzania, paid for some of the other issues there too, because we wanted to make sure that 100% goes to God's word. But I want to say something very important about that. Your tithes go to this church. See, we cannot be a Gideon without a recommendation of a pastor. So that's really important. So we are an integral part of your church. And so we want to make sure that this has to be a love offering beyond that. Now next slide, please, we have another program called our Gideon Card Program. And you have some in the foyer. And let's see a little video about that. Don't have a video. She goes, no video. Okay. Well, let me tell you a little bit about the Gideon Card Program. There are Gideon cards right out there in the foyer that you can have and look at. What you do is you take the card out, look at it. Some are memorial cards, some are birthday cards, some are and honor cards, many, many different things. So you just take that little card out, decide how many Bibles you'd like to dedicate to that person, write their name in there, write your address in there, and there's a little envelope, write you a check, put the check in the mail, and give Bibles around the world. We use this slogan, give, change a life, give a Bible and change a life. And so you're able to do that, so that's really important. Let's go to the next slide, please. Okay. The other thing you can do is actually become a Gideon. Now, we need a lot of men and their wives to actually give testaments out to the colleges and many, many different places. But let me tell you a little about why we're seeking Gideons to become men and their wives to become Gideons. You'll step out and have a desire to see boys and girls, men and women, find that saving grace of Jesus Christ. And you'll be able to put Bibles in the hands of all these people. And you'll be praying for the ministry. And we'll train you to witness to the lost using God's testament. And we'll train you to pray for the lost and pray for your pastor. And we'll train you how to pass out God's word and the Bible as well. And we'll give a purpose in your Christian life. And you'll be working with others to desire prayer partners and lifetime brothers. You'll see, you'll find out that how God will use you in many, many different ways. And you'll develop these seven key objectives. We're men and women of the book, men and women of prayer, men and women of faith, men and women of a separated walk, men and women who witness, and men and women who have a compassionate heart, and men and women who give. At the end of the service, I would be glad to talk to any one of you about this area, and we'd be glad to do that. So that's really important that we have that. Go back two slides, please. One more. That's good. That's good. That's fine. Well, I place Bibles in Motel 6 in Gallup, New Mexico. See, remember, I was a superintendent in New Mexico, so I was also a superintendent of Zuni Indians. And so a housekeeper approached me. We have to give out Bibles. We have to replace these Bibles probably about four times a year because they will take them, which is, we don't mind. And so as we were going through, the housekeeper gave me a note, and she handed me a half-empty bottle of whiskey. I said to myself, "We're Gideon, we don't drink." He said, "Well, you got to have this." And so I took it, and the other guys were laughing. So I opened the note, and let me tell you what the note said. "I found this Bible in the drawer of my bedroom. As I was reading through the helps, I found what I was looking for. And I put down the Bible and started to read in Acts. Well, I decided to go back to my wife and kids. And I'm trading this half-empty bottle of whiskey for your Bible. Because, you see, I can't let this Bible out of my sight anymore." May God bless you guys, and thank you for allowing me to have a time. At the end of service, how many have cell phones? Raise your hands if you got a cell phone. I hope, come on, you guys got more than cell phones than that. Well, at the end of the service, we're going to give you something that we want you all to have. And even if you don't have a cell phone, give it to your kids. Because this is a Bible app that we have developed. No commercials. It's really good. It's 2,300 languages. A lot of them are verbal, so that you're certainly able to do that. Two different New King James and International. And it was easy to downloadable, and you can actually verbally hear what God has to say for you. You can have it in Spanish or many, many different languages that's available for you. All you do is download it, and all we ask you to do is pass it on. You can make as many copies as you want. We want to make sure, Pastor, that we really have the word go out. And the Gideons want to make sure that happens. At the end of the service, we'll have an open Bible. And we will be back there passing these little cards out. And may God bless you guys. And God bless your church as well.
Give thanks to you, gracious and merciful Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the things that you presented before us, how important it is to get your word out. Now, Lord, we ask that as we continue in our worship, I pray that you would open up hearts and you would open up minds so that they may be able to receive your word. And, Lord, we would not be just hearers, but we would be doers as well. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, well, good morning again. It's a blessing it is to be able to come before you and tell you that the Lord loves you and to tell you stories about how much Jesus cares and loves you this morning. And this morning, we are going to talk about a wonderful story or parable that so many of us have already heard many, many, many times before from. And it's a very good story, and it's a very good parable. And the parable is told by the Master himself, Jesus.
as he went about preaching, and right before he told the story about the parable of the lost son, he talked about the parable of the lost coin. You see, our Lord is very interested in things that are lost. Amen? And one of the things that are lost are humans. And he is very, very interested in bringing them into the fold. And I, for one, I don't know about you, I am so glad that he's interested enough that he reached out and got me one day. And he reached out and got you as well. Our subject this morning is called confession. And confession, this is the fourth topic of our 6 weeks From the Ashes series. And we talked earlier about humility. We talked about temptation. And what was the other one we talked about? What did we talk about last Sunday? Thought with a C. Contemplation. We talked about contemplation and how important it was for us to spend some quality time with Jesus. So today we're going to talk about confession. And confession is the process. Sin's got to be recognized. You've got to turn from it, and then after that, you can experience the forgiveness of an almighty and a gracious God. And we need to have a regular practice of searching our lives and bringing it into the light. And what this can do, this can cultivate a life full of grace and mercy as we rise from the ashes of all of our past and all of our poor decisions. That we made throughout our lives. So, now, one thing about this story, it's a story about, and other things also, about admitting fault. One of the most hardest things that for us to do, and I'm talking about me, is to admit that I'm wrong. It's to admit that I'm a failure. I will do all it takes, will all it takes to always blame the other guy. Put it on somebody else's shoulder. Well, if this, maybe it was a way. No. We have to come to the point that we have to realize that it's our fault. And that's what this young man in this story had to do. You see, confession and coming clean, when we're at fault, that's not easy. And I would be willing to bet that a lot of us, even here today, we probably got a lot of stories about how we just would not, you know, admit to the fact that, you know, that we're wrong. Now, in the Robinson household, I have the thinking that I'm always right. By golly, what I want is going, and that's the way it's going to be. We're going to have chicken and that's it. Chicken it will be. Well, when Granny comes home, Granny don't want chicken. Granny wants fish. I say, well, chicken is better for you. Well, we got fish in here. Well, we can go out. Well, we got. Her theory is eat what's already there and don't go out and buy chicken. Well, I just can't be wrong. My God. But I was wrong and I know it. I hate to say it, folks. But Tessie is always right. Now, why is that? Why can't I be right sometimes? But you know what the Lord is doing here? He's showing me that, Ted, you got faults, buddy, and you ain't perfect. And that's what he's going to show you, and he's showing this young man also. You know, you took all your dad's money. You went out and you squandered it. You thought you knew best what was right. You went out and you gathered your friends around you, and they came to you and you partied and you had just a wonderful time because you had the money, you had the funds, you could do what you thought was right. You see, that's the problem, folks. We have a tendency to think to do what we think is right. But what about our Heavenly Father? What about Jesus? What if what he has is right and you're wrong?
Somebody's going to have to give there. Amen? And let me tell you, folks, it ain't Jesus. It won't be him. His word will stand forever. So you're going to have to come to the point that what you're doing is wrong. Now, this young man, in the scriptures, he told him, Father, give me a share of the estate. So he divided his property between him and his brother. But not long after that, the younger son, he got all he had. He set off somewhere. I don't know. Houston, Dallas, somewhere. Took all his money, and he squandered it with what? Wild living. Well, what's wild living? That means extravagant living. That means having a good time. That means partying. And the word wild living in the New Testament, it describes extravagantly wasteful living, a bad lifestyle. Now, all of that might seem good at the time, but after that, you know, he was spending all his money. But as I said earlier, eventually, money comes to an end. And I got to tell you something, folks. Come down close. Probably already know. Now, he squandered all his wealth. We squander what God gives us. He gives us talent, gifts, money, and things, but we throw it all away with bad decisions. But look what happened. I'm so thankful that's not the end of the prodigal story, nor is it the end of life. You see, we serve a God who loves us. We serve a God who's merciful. We serve a God who knows exactly what you are doing. You may think he doesn't know, but he knows. And sometimes, folks, sometimes he just got to get you down to the point where you got to say, I got to go home. I can't deal with this anymore. I got to go home. I don't have any more friends. I don't have any more money. I got nowhere to stay. I call people and they push me to the side like I'm trash. Oh, Lord, what am I going to do? Where am I going? Let's keep looking. Let's keep reading in our scripture and see what the Lord says that we should do here. He says this, and after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole in a whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to fields to do what? Feed pigs. That had to be the most detestable thing in the world for the Jews. But you know what, folks? When you're hungry, you're hungry. Amen. You don't care. You eat. You know. I remember in Vietnam, I was so hungry, I don't know what I was eating, but I ate it. It was something with rice, and I ended up liking it, you know. But what is the point I'm trying to say to you is, you can't be choosy when you ain't got nothing. Amen? Can't be choosy. So, he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country. He sent him to his fields to feed pigs. And he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. Now, I can't know what pods are, but if pigs are eating it, it can't be good. But no one gave him anything. And when he came to his senses, he come to himself. You see, folks, you got to come to yourself. When I used to get in trouble, Big Mama would always tell me, she said, boy, you need to come to yourself. You need to come to yourself in a hurry. And when she said that, that means I need to get straight quickly. You know, he says, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy. No longer worthy. You see, he had to come to himself. He had to come to the point where he realized that he was no longer worthy of his father's love. And dear one, I would submit to you this morning, that's what's got to happen to you and me and those of us who may be carrying something around that they haven't confessed to the Lord. You've got to come to the point where you realize that, Lord, I'm no longer worthy. You know, I need you. I really need you. You see, there needs to be a time in our lives when we just come to our senses and realize that our life was never meant to be what the Father wants it to be. We were never meant to be our life apart from the Father. Our life was always supposed to be intertwined with our Heavenly Father. That's why Jesus came. He came so that we might be reconciled to the Heavenly Father. And it says, my hope and my prayer this morning that none of you ever have to hit rock and lose everything, and have a shattered life, or have your dream just totally reduced to ashes. But here, let me give you the good news. Thank God for the good news. We are able to make a decision. We can go home. We can go home. And we can go home at any time. You know, and it seems like some of us, we simply just have to come to the very end of our world and realize that in Christ alone, we are found worthy before the Father. In Christ alone, there is your worth. It's not in what you are and what you do and how much money you got and how many friends you have. It is in Christ alone that you are worthy. You see, the Father, he wants us. He beckons for us to come. He's not pushing you away. He's telling you to come. But you got to come to your senses. You got to come to your senses. You see, and as the Son reached his end, he looked at the confession. He was actually practicing what he was going to say. Now, this guy here, he was serious. He says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. And he recognized the sinfulness and the depravity of his life. And he understood, and this is important, he understood not only did his sin touch his earthly father, but it also touched his heavenly father. You see, dear one, when you sin, you not only affect yourself and your family, but you affect also your heavenly father. And I tell you this, and when he gets a hold of you, you're going to do right. I guarantee you. You're going to do right. You're going to do right. Let me read the scripture, verse 20. It says, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. You see, that's what it's going to take for. You're going to have to drop your pride. You're going to have to drop your I'm all that and this and that. And you're just going to say, Lord, I just want to come home. I am tired of this mess. I can't deal with this. I can't deal with this. Only you can help me. That's when the Lord will deal with me. When I preach funerals, one of the things that I'm sure other preachers do is, I believe,
confession is precious, Lord, take my hand. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord. Clothing him as he is my hope is built. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. Anchor hope within the veil, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenanted blood, support me in the whelming blood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand,